Oh, and welcome to my show. Could you be more specific? I'm your host, Jonathan Steele, coming to you by the way of the Stay Woke podcast. And on this episode of Could You Be More Specific, I'm going to get into, you know, the NBA season is officially happening. And I'm also going to touch on that and what I think about the upcoming year and from a storyline standpoint, what that means. But I'm also going to touch on the return of Black-ish. And ironically, I'll touch on a bit of the Connors just to kind of tie it in on a larger point. So I'm going to call this the return. But I'm going to start first with the NBA now. It's been, you know, several months since the NBA season has officially wrapped in June. It's making its long-awaited return after months off. I'm very happy about that. Out of all the sports, I definitely love the NBA more than any of them. And so I'm excited to see the upcoming games and the season that's going to be happening because there's a lot of interesting storylines. Obviously, starting first with the Golden State Warriors, they're opening on Tuesday, or should I say tonight. And they're playing their last season at the Oracle in Oakland. The impact of that because they're going to be moving to their new arena in San Francisco. And so that has a lot of big things on, in terms of their economy and how that's going to affect the way that the team is viewed moving forward. I know a lot of people are sad about it overall, but sometimes people got to realize is that some of the teams you liked were in previous cities before they became a mainstay somewhere else. So I believe the Warriors were originally the San Francisco Warriors to begin with before they moved to Oakland. And now they're just moving back to San Francisco. I could be wrong on that, but that's where they first originally started out as. It's very similar to the Clippers. I believe the Clippers started out in San Diego before settling in Los Angeles. I'll double check just to be sure, but it always has, you know, certain differences and ramifications on the city, especially with sports franchises. And honestly, it's kind of a night and day difference between San Francisco and Oakland. Both obviously, you know, known as big cities, but San Francisco is a much more considered a prestigious, you know, Silicon Valley type city to be in. But, you know, the interesting storylines with the Warriors is if Kevin Durant will stay there, you know, past this year, which a lot of people feel like is a 50-50 chance that he might leave. And then, you know, you got, you know, say a team like Houston where they came very close in beating the Warriors. Short of a Chris Paul injury, that they had a really good shot of winning that series. They've gotten better. Just in the Western Conference alone, it's a lot of interesting teams like the Denver Nuggets and the Utah Jazz. Of course, Los Angeles Lakers, that's the biggest team to talk about right now, obviously, because the biggest star on the planet is on it, and that's LeBron. So that scenario is very interesting to see on how that's going to develop because I think it has probably the biggest potential of a boom or a bust. Just because I don't think you've seen LeBron with the guys this young in a long time. But he's never really had a team this young be this talented. I know people bring up the previous Cleveland team before they traded for Kevin Love. I'm like, even if you had, you know, Wiggins and Waiters and Kyrie, I would still take this Lakers version of a team right now than I would have pre the Kevin Love trade before LeBron went back to Cleveland. So it's going to be interesting to see how that kind of develops on that side of things. And then from the Eastern Conference standpoint, honestly, the number one team that people are talking about is Boston because they're the most set up to go on and make it to the finals and possibly win a title. You know, that's very possible. I know a lot of people feel like, oh, no, that can't happen. I'm like, no, that's possible. It's not a guarantee, but it's a shot. For them, it's like that. For Toronto, that's there. Having Kawhi Leonard and seeing what he'll mean, placing DeMar DeRozan essentially, which in hindsight, it's not the fact that he was traded. It was the fact, it was the way they went about it. I mean, if I was the GM of Toronto at the time and I met with DeMar in Vegas because of the summer league, if he was asking, were you going to trade him or were you exploring trading him? You'd be like, hey, we've received calls about your availability and that I'm not actively looking to trade you, but they have been teams that have called. And he could have just said that. You don't say, like, hey, I'm not looking to trade you at all, but just say, like, hey, I'm not actively looking to make any changes as of right now, which if you look at their team, the most tradable contract that they had was ironically DeMar DeRozan, because he's younger and he had, you know, multiple years left on it. So that's why it made sense for the Spurs. But as far as with Kawhi Leonard goes, it's going to be interesting to see, will he still leave Toronto after a year and potentially leave and possibly either go to the Clippers or the Lakers? Or I kind of don't see him in Philly. I know people keep bringing them up. They're a good young team. They still got a ways to go, but I don't see him in Philly. That's going to be kind of fascinating to see what happens with the Eastern Conference now that LeBron's officially out. As far as other teams goes, I know people bring up Milwaukee and Giannis. I'll love to, in the future, and I know he and I have talked about this, D and I have, you know, talked about sports before. I'll love to do one of these type NBA coverages on the league itself with him, because he's very knowledgeable about it too. And I know we've kind of touched a bit on Giannis. I think Giannis is great, but I don't, you know, for him to be not struggling, but it doesn't really seem like with Milwaukee he's going to really get as far as you would like to think he would. And because, you know, people don't realize 50% of the NBA league, the teams have not won titles. And the reasons why they don't win titles is because they don't take chances, because they're so consumed with the future all the time. And there's just certain teams, it's like, well, you don't even need to be thinking that. You need to take your best shot. It's the same thing for Toronto. If I could trade for Jimmy Butler and have Kawhi Leonard and Jimmy Butler on the team, on the same team at the same time, that could really change things for your franchise. But a lot of them don't gamble. Everything's about draft picks and waiting 3, 4, 5 years, and then by then you're fired. I'd rather just go ahead and swing for the fences now, see if we can win a title, and then force them to see if, well, they want to run it back and us give it a shot. But a lot of the time, you know, teams, especially in the NBA, play real safe, because, you know, I'm not against guaranteed contracts. I think that it's a good thing, because it provides certainty, especially to another team. Because if you're a franchise or a city that struggles getting free agency to come to your city, you know, trading for a guy that has 2 years left on his deal is very enticing, because you have his bird rights. You have a chance to potentially sign him going forward. You just got to be mindful of putting together the right team. It's like you get essentially seven to eight years with these guys. It's like, and if you can't do nothing 7 to 8 years, then you don't really need to have them anyway. I don't understand that. But fans and media get so hung up on loyalty and sports. I'm like, what do you mean loyalty in sports? There's no loyalty at your job that you guys work for. There's no loyalty with the coaches that you guys cover. They'll pick up and leave whenever they want to, college or NFL. So NFL's a little bit rare because you just trade them. But I don't know. Those are just some of the things that kind of come along with being in the NBA. And I'm really, really looking forward to this upcoming season. I think it's going to be really exciting to see. So those are some of the thoughts that I had on that particular topic. I'm going to transition to talking about Black-ish, one of my favorite shows that comes on TV. The fact that that show is still as good as it is to be on network TV, and the way that they always find ways to drop knowledge is always great. But they always do. So it's returning also on the same night as The Conners, which is the spinoff of The Roseanne Show. And I know some people will bring up the comparison about, well, they both deal with controversial subjects, or they'll touch on that. And I'm like, well, Roseanne, even in its heyday, was very much showing a segment of the country that represents a lot of people in the white community that are not necessarily brought up all the time. Their votes are not necessarily valued, and the way that they go about making their living is of that same mindset. Kind of similar to why All in the Family worked, except for All in the Family was, even though it had its offensive moments in the show for sure, it was just a much funnier, better executed show than Roseanne ever was at their height. And even if you bring up this new version of The Conners now that they're going to try and do, that they're nowhere the same. As far as Black-ish goes, Black-ish shows the black experience in a family, especially a black family that's succeeding, and letting you know still the hurdles that come along with that. Now, they do it in a very comical way with, you know, say someone like Andre, who is, you know, obsessed with his shoes and kind of acts like a bit of a baby, and obnoxious a lot of the time. And Rainbow, who is super sweet, but, you know, she's hung up on the fact that she's a doctor, but she's really an anesthesiologist, and she gets flack for that, which, you know, in the medical field, they've always done that. And then, obviously, with their kids, it is nice to see what they're doing with their kids, to see their oldest daughter in college, and obviously she's moved on and got a spin-off show in Grownish, and then Junior officially graduated in high school, and he's off to college. And then the twins are getting bigger, too. So it is nice to see how they're kind of showing the makeup of a black family in America that is doing well, but they're still facing their challenges, and they're making sense of the world that's around them, and how they're still going to be perceived as not just people in the community that they're living in, but also the perceived amongst their family members who are on both sides of, you know, the spectrum. You know, for Rainbow, her family is, you know, kind of like in the vein of, you know, kind of like earthy hippies, everything's natural, holistic, and stuff like that, versus Andre, where he grew up in inner city Los Angeles, and his dad, played by Lawrence Fishburne, who's incredible, like a lot of black fathers, it's like, hey, you know, you're alive, you're not in jail, you made something of yourself to a large degree, and your dad is still around, so you didn't have it all that bad. So the fact that the show is still as good as it is from a quality standpoint, I'm happy with it, because it's so much television now that it's pointless to hate watch TV. And I remember that was something that people used to bring up 10 years ago a lot, because of the fact of now you have so much TV, you don't really have hours to really waste on shows that are not good. So it is great that Blackish, especially being on a network show, is still as consistently good as it is. I'm looking forward to seeing how their season plays out. And I know Grownish, I think, is coming back sometime soon. I don't know the exact premiere date on that show, which is good to see Zoe, their oldest child, in college, and her kind of make sense of what she's doing with her life. And since that's now the same scenario with Junior, it's going to be interesting to see how things pan out with him moving forward. With Junior, what I've always loved about him is that no matter how bad his dad does him, he knows who he is, and he doesn't change who he is. It's ironically, Andre was fighting for his father's affection all his life and still felt like he was coming up short, where his dad's opinion really matters. With Junior, I think he loves his father and his opinion matters, but it doesn't matter enough to make him change his personality for his dad, because his dad doesn't understand him, which I like the fact that they show that. That as an individual, even if you guys are related and you may love each other, it's like you don't have to change up who you are at your core to make your parent happy. So those are some of the things I just wanted to kind of touch on with that. I want to thank everyone that's been listening to the show. I want to thank D for all the hard work that he's done in putting together these shows. Definitely support him. He's got more material coming up on the podcast real soon. Definitely support us. Become a patron. Continue to follow us. This has been such a great time to continue to be doing this pod. Again, my name is Jonathan Steele. Thank you for listening. Could you be more specific? Continue to follow the Stay Well podcast, and I'll be looking forward to speaking with you guys real soon. Thank you.